Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. Thank you, Maggie. How are you doing, Mark?
Very well. How's it going, Mike?
Good. I'm wondering what you're doing March 5th through March 7th of 2010.
Well, in between lectures, probably hanging out at the pool in Phoenix, so I'll see you there. We're doing a course, poems of the past couple of years, top poems to help get you updated on common primary care topics. This is the Arizona Academy of Family Physicians course, and so it's March 5th through 7th in Phoenix. You can go to azafp.org or essentialevidence.com to learn more. And also, we're going to be repeating the course over here in Athens, Georgia, April 16 through 18. So hope to have some of our listening audience join us for those courses.
Great. Just to remind listeners, it's a great way to review primary care. The topics will be relatively short. They'll be very practical and be delivered by a panel of very well skilled teachers, so that I hope to see
you and me, right? And several others.
Well, right, they dragged me out, but I'm there just to watch. Anyways, it will be a fun time, and hopefully listeners can join us. This week we're going to actually talk about something that's very timely, which is the H1N1, and I certainly have no crystal ball, although it seems, at least at this point, that H1N1 may have run its course in North America. However, only time will tell. In the meantime, there are all sorts of occupational issues with regard to health workers that have come to the forefront around this pandemic, including, for example, the ethics of mandatory immunizations for healthcare workers. Well, this week we will not discuss this particular topic, but we're going to look at the efficacy of face masks and N95 respirators. The effectiveness of face masks and these N95 respirators in preventing transmission of pandemic H1N1 is not known. We certainly are using both around the hospital. Most of us have been fitted for N95 respirators. This week, we look at one randomized trial in nurses, which attempted to answer the question of which is more effective, these surgical masks, which we've used for decades, or these test-fitted N95 respirators. The theoretical problem is that the face masks do not seal tightly to the face and are used to prevent large droplets from coming into contact with the user's mouth or nose. The N95 respirators, on the other hand, fit tightly and filter out these smaller particles. So the optimal use of N95 respirators requires test fitting, training, and medical clearance. The N95 respirators are not recommended for children or individuals like myself with facial hair. But this week, The study published in JAMA asks the very interesting question, how effective is a surgical mask, the all-American surgical mask, compared to the N95 respirator in protecting healthcare workers against influenza in general? Mark, what did they find?
It was a great study, and I love when we can actually get data on these things that we have come to believe. And this was a study done in 446 nurses. Now, I don't know how many had facial hair, but probably most did not. Working full-time in the ED, a medical unit or a pediatric unit at 8 medical centers in Canada. They were randomized to either use the fit-tested N95 or a simple surgical mask when they were caring for patients with a febrile respiratory illness, and they were supposed to wear it when they were within 1 meter of one of these patients. And the primary outcome was laboratory-confirmed influenza in the nurse. So not just theoretical particle size differences, but did they get the flu or didn't they get the flu? The personnel who were conducting the testing for flu were blinded to the group assignment, which is good. All the nurses also wore gloves and gowns, kind of usual thing when caring for patients with the suspected infection, probably a little more than we might typically see. About 30% in each group got influenza vaccine during the study year, which is kind of sad when you think about it, only 30%. Mm. Complete follow-up was present for over 90% of the participants, and in the analysis, they found basically no difference in the rates of flu, 23.6% versus 22.9% for the N95. There was a non-significant trend for an increased incidence of the pandemic H1N1 flu in the N95 group, 11.9% versus 8%. They also did a per-protocol analysis, and still no significant difference between the groups. Something you should always ask when a study doesn't find a difference is, was it large enough? And this study was big enough to be 80% powered to find a 10% reduction in flu with the N95 mask.
Wow, so it, perhaps a little slightly underpowered, huh? Would have noted a significant difference, but not necessarily small differences, right?
Yeah, it's possible there was a small benefit, but to me, this isn't terrifically surprising. I mean, the right. N95, it's hard to wear that thing all day long, and so the actual, you know, use effectiveness is probably going to be, you know, lower than the theoretical effectiveness, and that's why this kind of real-world study with real patient oriented outcomes is really important to do.
Right. Now, I think it's important. It also, for those of us that have used this device, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's hard to have a conversation with anybody. You know, you get all sweaty. It is, for all the creature comforts that you're talking about, it's hard to use that full time.
Yeah, and as this study showed, certainly didn't have any benefit over a simple surgical mask.
Right. Very interesting study. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.